stay up, stay connected. The more you read, the more you get out of the lesson. And, you know, Kings continues the narrative, and chronologically, historically, it begins with the death of David. The first part, or about half of 1 Kings, talks about Solomon, David's son, becoming king, and a lot of print for Solomon. The second part of 1 Kings is about the divided kingdom. Elijah, the prophet, walks onto the pages of Scripture. Some interesting accounts of the prophet. But this morning, we're going to begin in, I want to read a section in chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. Again, let's stand while we read God's Word. In honor of His Word, I'll read a portion. Beginning with verse 1, chapter 2, 1 Kings. Now the days of David drew near that he should die. He charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be strong, therefore, and prove yourself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do and wherever you turn, that the Lord may fulfill his word which he spoke concerning me, saying, if your sons take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth with all their heart, with all their soul, he said, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel. Moreover, you know also what Joab, the son of Zeruiah, did to me, and what he did to the two commanders of the army of Israel, to Abner, the son of Ner, and to Amasa, the son of Jether, whom he killed. And he shed the blood of war in peacetime, and put the blood of war on his belt that was around his waist, and on his sandals that were on his feet. Therefore, do according to your wisdom, and do not let his gray hair go down to the grave in peace. But show kindness to the sons of Barzillai, and the Gileadite, and let them be among those who eat at your table, for they came to me when I fled from Absalom, your brother. And see, you have with you Shimei, the son of Gera, the Benjamite from Huram, who cursed me with a malicious curse in the day when I went to Mahanaim. I'm butchering these names, forgive me. But he came down to meet me at the Jordan, and I swore to him by the Lord, saying, I will not put you to death with the sword. Now, therefore, do not hold him guiltless, for you are a wise man and know what you ought to do to him. But bring his gray hair down to the grave with blood. Lord, we, as we continue through your word, Lord, we acknowledge that only you open our eyes of understanding, and we ask that you would, Lord, grant us understanding and wisdom to be governed by your word. We thank you and praise your holy name, Lord. We commit this time to you. We ask you to bless. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Now, he charges Solomon. But beginning in chapter 1, we're going to highlight a few things. We'll cover a couple of chapters. In chapter 1, in the first section, it describes David in his old age, in his 70s. Poor blood circulation, can't keep warm. Puts all the blankets on him, can't keep warm. Someone suggests, hey, get a young girl and have her cuddle with you. And she'll keep you warm. The Bible says that's what took place, but he didn't have sexual relations with her. The Bible clearly points out. He's getting old. His eyes are dim. You know, he's losing some contact there and what's going on. Meanwhile, Adonijah, his other son, tries to take advantage of the situation. It's David's old age. He's kind of losing it, falling apart. So there's an uprising by Adonijah, similar to how Absalom revolted. Look at verse 5, chapter 1. Then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, I will be king. Now, again, he exalted himself. You know, the Bible tells us clearly that if we humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, he will exalt us. But he didn't wait. He took things in his own hand, much like Absalom, and exalted himself. In verse 6, notice, and his father had not rebuked him at any time by saying, why have you done so? Throwing light, G. Campbell Morgan says, it throws light on why there was, you know, so many family problems, that David didn't discipline his children. Again, the need to discipline and correct your children. The Bible's clear upon us taking responsibility and maintaining responsibility with our children. But he didn't. He didn't rebuke him. He just kind of let it slide. Verse 7 talks about those who joined the revolt. Verse 9, it's kind of indicative of Adonijah's rebellion. Look, and Adonijah sacrificed sheep and oxen and fatted cattle by the stone of Zoheleth, which is by Enrogel. Now, Zoheleth actually means serpent, sacrificing at the place of the serpent, kind of indicative of his rebellion. The Bible tells us that Nathan caught wind of what was going on with Adonijah. So he comes to Bathsheba. He tells Bathsheba, now listen, this isn't right. There was many men that remained faithful with David, Nathan one of them. So he puts in action a plan to make things right. He tells Bathsheba to go before the king and, you know, hey, you promised that my son, our son, Solomon, was going to be the king. Bring it to pass. Then, while you're telling him and discussing that with him, I'll come into his presence at the same time and say, hey, did you hear Adonijah? Is they're anointing him king? What's going on? So he brings forth this plan and really successfully brings to light what was going on to David, and David, you know, swears. Look in verse 29. And the king took an oath and said, as the Lord lives, who has redeemed my life from every distress, just as I swore to you by the Lord God of Israel, saying, assuredly Solomon your son shall be king after me. And he shall sit on my throne in my place, so I certainly will do this this day. He confirms Solomon. But you note how Nathan, seeing Adonijah and the rebellion, you know, the insurrection going on, and he, you know, right away puts corrective measure in action, and you know, does what's right, sees what's wrong, And takes action to correct it. And bursting with principles and help, these accounts, scripture. You know. It goes on. Solomon is anointed king. It's announced. Words brought to Adonijah. And the Bible says fear came upon Adonijah and his camp, the rebellion. Look in verse 49. Chapter 1. So all the guests who were with Adonijah were afraid and arose, and each one went his way. Now Adonijah was afraid of Solomon, so he arose and went and took hold of the horns of the altar. Right away, Adonijah was afraid of Solomon, bearing witness to what was going on. He's the rightful king, the rightful heir to the throne. David confirming him, David's position and right and authority to appoint the next king. So Adonijah, terrified, runs to the altar, and he grabs hold of the horns that, remember that picture of the altar, and he's sitting there clinging to the altar, symbolic of, you know, pleading for mercy, fearing Solomon, what Solomon might do because of his rebellion. After making a mess of things, then he does what's right. he runs and casts himself upon the mercy of God. Now, he's late. He messed up. Many people, it takes, you know, it takes messing things up before they're able to repent of their rebellion. Here, Adonijah clinging to the altar. Solomon offers him clemency, a pardon. If, in verse 52, the Bible says, if he proves himself a worthy man, not a hair on his head will be harmed. So, after Adonijah messes things up, tries to exalt himself, takes things in his own hand, then he clings. Would it be better to seek God's guidance before we take action? Seeking his will, his perspective, his plan. Chapter 1, chapter 2 begins with this charge by David to Solomon. Now, a charge, really an injunction, a command. You know, he says, be strong. Prove yourself a man. Keep the commandment of the Lord. Keep his ways. He charges him to really uphold righteousness. It's interesting. We're going to kind of spend some time on this charge. But following the charge, you know, David kind of switches character almost. He almost turns into the godfather. You know, he says, no, you know, I want you to take care of some business for me. You know Joab, what kind of harm he brought to me. You know what to do. So he tells him, you know what to do to him. Then he says, Barzillai, you know, show him kindness. Treat him like family. Then, you know, he makes that, look in verse 5. At the end of verse 5, he says, now, you know what Joab did to me. And then he says he killed Abner and Amasa, and he shed the blood of war in peacetime. And he put the blood of war on his belt that was around his waist and on his sandals that were on his feet. What he did, he pretended he was giving him an embrace. And he shoved his sword in their, you know, in them. The Bible says that their blood pouring on his waist and then down upon his shoes, unrighteously, you know, murdering them. You know what to do to him. Then he brings up Shimei, the guy that cursed him. Now, Shimei, he says, he's Ali. Now, Shimei, I told him I wouldn't lay a hand on him. But that doesn't mean you don't have to. Take care of him. You know, before he gets his gray hairs, man, take care of him. Bring vengeance. Unlike David. You know, unlike his forgiving, I don't know why. You know, but he kind of switched characters there at the end a little bit, just proving he's still human. And yet, you know, take care of some business for me. But back to the charge. In verse 2, at the end, be strong, prove yourself a man. Keep the charge of the Lord your God. This text we're going to look at, keeping the charge. We'll look at this first. First he says, walk in his ways. You know, that means don't walk in your own ways. Walk in God's ways. Now, the charge of a dying father to his son is, you know, and there's something special about that. You get on, you know, your parents get on their deathbed, and there's some authority that comes along with that. You know, the blessing, the charge. Keep with the Lord. Walk in his ways. Don't walk in your own ways. Don't walk in the ways of the world. Hey, there's a strong current to pull us in the ways of the world. Everybody's conformed, trying to conform us. Don't be like that. Walk in his ways. Stay with him. Stay faithful to him. Keep his statutes, he says. He goes on in this charge. Keep his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, his testimonies. I looked up each one of these words in the Hebrew. And they're really meaningful. Keep his statutes. The actual Hebrew word, it means his appointments. Keep his appointments. And it means time, space, quantity, labor, and usage. Keep. Where? Or when? You know, it's almost in the book of Acts, Paul says, God has appointed us. He's put us in the boundaries. We were born not by accident. Where and when? We're, you know, according to our own family, we're placed in the Midwest for his good purpose. And yet, where we're at, keep his appointments. Be faithful to him. Where you're at. When. The time period. We live in the last days. We live in a knowledge exploding time period. Video. Time is moving. Keep his appointments. Be faithful to him. Who you are. The quantity. Stay faithful. You know, the Bible, we have peace with him. We accept who we are. God's in control. God doesn't make junk. God made us special. Specifically, he designed each one of us for a purpose. Be faithful. Keep your appointments, who you are, how you live, the labor, the job, the gifts he's given you. He says, keep his statutes. Keep his commandments. That means his law, the ordinances, the precept. Keep his word. Obey his word. Keep his judgments. Now, this actually means what he has determined to be right is right, and what he has determined to be wrong is wrong. What is good, and what is evil. And it's not because he said it. God reveals to us for our best interest and well-being. He lets us know the nature of good, praise God, that we might keep it. We might be privileged to follow what's right. He doesn't. That is black and that is white. He gives us the root nature of what is right and what's wrong. Keep his judgments. You know, the Bible tells us to be in agreement with God's nature, God's judgments. Testimonies. Keep his testimony, Solomon. That means witness. Be a witness. Maintain a witness to testify for him, bearing witness of him. Interesting, because, you know, it hasn't changed. We'll look in the New Testament a little bit how, you know, the charge has applied to the gospel and really doesn't change. Interesting. We, you know, just had the graduation ceremony at CHEM, Christian Homeschooler Education Educators of Michigan. And in this homeschooling ceremony, there was 42 graduates. It's really a special ceremony, for it's different and unlike anything you ever see. Because in truth, you know, the graduates come up, and who presents the graduates with the diploma are the parents. And when the parents come up, they're, you know, allowed a couple of minutes to give them a charge and give them a blessing. Oh, is it heartfelt? Man, I'm telling you, it was so moving. God was so present because, you know, no one wants the best for their children, you know, other than their parents. Now you get your chance to make it official. It's almost like, you know, this isn't a blessing. You can extend a blessing to them. You know, you heard so many, you know, neat, beautiful, wonderful charges. Most all, keep your faith. Stay with the Lord. Trust him. One guy said, you take care of your relationship with the Lord, it'll take care of you. And, you know, just, I was crying half the time, man. Just, it was so moving and just so wonderful to see the sincerity of the parents. And, you know, some of them were nervous and, you know, some of them were maybe a little prideful. And but the heartfelt, you know, blessing and charge was so sincere. And, you know, most, a lot of them use the charge that was given to Joshua by the Lord. Be strong, be courageous, I'll be with you. We're going into the promised land, I'll be with you. And mostly scripture, but all had something to say, well, keep your faith, stay with the Lord. You're entering this chapter of your life and you're entering a new chapter. Stay with him. The charge by a dying father to his son, Solomon, passing the throne to his son. The charge of parents to their children. The New Testament, Timothy, Paul passing the baton to Timothy. Really, the whole book of Timothy, 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, is just an ongoing charge. Go for it, Timothy. Don't let them despise your youth. Speak, preach the truth over and over again. Just a charge, a blessing, a commandment, instruction, injunction, just to name a few and very few. And chapter 1 of 1 Timothy, wage the good warfare, Timothy. Get in the fight. Chapter 2, pray. Chapter 3, be an example to believers in word, conduct, love, faith, purity. Chapter 6, fight the good fight of faith. I charge you, keep. Over and over again, I charge you, keep. I charge you, keep. Hold fast the pattern of sound words in faith and in love, which are in Christ Jesus. Turn to 2 Timothy. We'll look at 1 in chapter 4. Second Timothy, beginning with verse 1, chapter 4. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. That's this time we live in. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. Tell me what I want to hear. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Be faithful. Yeah, it's going to get tougher. The majority, even in Christianity, mainline Christianity, is turning from sound doctrine because it's difficult in these days. But be faithful. Keep the word. Be an example. Get in the fight. Continue to pray. The charge of a spiritual father to his spiritual son. Much the same. Keep the faith. Stay strong. 1 Timothy chapter 6. I'm sorry. One more verse. Look in verse 14. Chapter 6, verse 14. Verse 13. I urge you in the sight of God, who gives life to all things, and before Christ Jesus, who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate. In verse 14, that you keep this commandment without spot, blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ appearing. Keep this commandment. Stay strong. Keep this commandment. And if you summed up, what Paul was trying to communicate to Timothy, and, put it in a, if you extracted it and summed it all up, capsulize it, it would be live in agreement with God's word. And let your actions and your conduct be in harmony with God's word. The Bible tells us in 1 John, confess your sins. And he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That word confess, it actually means to be in agreement with what God sees. Not how I feel, not what my conscience dictates, but what God sees as sin. To be in agreement, in harmony with the Word, with Him, to walk with Him, to stay with Him, to keep the faith. Keeping the Lord's charge to us is keeping His Word. The gospel is the rule of life, aligning our actions accordingly. Like a father to his children, like they did in the homeschooling thing, or a dying father to his son, like David with his son Solomon, much more a living God to us. You know, they ask that question, how do I fulfill the law? And Jesus told them how to fulfill the law is to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. And that is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. To love in agreement with God. To be conformed according to His Word. Interesting, back in the text, He says that you may prosper. If you obey, you'll prosper. Another thing He says is that God's Word would be fulfilled. You know, in Romans chapter 12, the Bible says, you know, for us to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Prove His Word. It's a wonderful privilege to walk out faith in this world, because we're proving God's faithfulness. Because we can only do it because of His faithfulness. To fulfill His Word. He was relating it to the promise of the Davidic covenant. But to keep the charge, the Bible tells us that it's the same verdict as the Old Testament. As He's calling Solomon to keep his statutes and commandments and judgments and testimonies. Let's stand. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You. We thank You for Your Word. And Lord, that You do charge us to keep Your Word, to obey You, to walk in Your ways. To be in agreement with You, Lord, with our life. To be in agreement with our conduct in accordance to Your Word. And Lord, we thank You. We thank You that You've opened our eyes and that You've extended salvation to us. Now let us prove ourselves a man. Let us fulfill Your Word. Lord, You know we can't do that apart from You. We ask that You pour out Your Spirit upon us. Cause us, Lord, to be shaped by Your Word, by Your Spirit, by Your presence, by the truth of what's good and what's evil, and what's wrong and what's right. And Lord, cause us to see sin according to what it is, destructive and ruinous. Lord, we commit ourselves to You afresh. We place ourselves in our Father's hands. We ask, Lord, that keep us, Lord. Keep us in Your Word. Keep us in Your Spirit. Keep us in Your love. Keep us in Your light. Keep us in Your truth. Put a hedge about us. Protect us. Even in this corruptible world is escalating in corruption. Lord, we submit ourselves and commit ourselves to You afresh. And we ask that You pour out Your Spirit upon us and cause us to live. In Jesus' name, amen.